Hey, what's good, everyone? It is Samir from Beat Fino Podcasts. Hope you're all well. Just taking this quick time to make a little shout out to our sponsors. Definitely recommend this one. Check it out. This podcast is sponsored by the Music Producers Guild of New Zealand, Aotearoa. The Music Producers Guild is an advisory service that assists and empowers our music producer industry here in New Zealand. Members get personalized contracts for their music production, free Serato Studio Sample and DJ Pro, access to discounted audio equipment and software, and advice from industry professionals. Buy your plugins through the Music Producers Guild website to help support us all in growing our community. For more information and to sign up as a member, please visit www.mpgnz.co.nz. Huge shout out to the Music Producers Guild of New Zealand for sponsoring Beat Fino. Super stoked to be able to share such a positive driving force for New Zealand music on the world stage. Please check them out. Super stoked to be in the guild myself. And I know for a lot of you guys wanting to take their music to the next level, super honored to have this opportunity to be around the industry professionals and soak up all the benefits. Back to here to the podcast. Thank you so much all for hanging in and enjoying this testimony so far. Feel free to pop a little message in to our page. Let us know how you've enjoyed this podcast. And stay tuned for more Beat Fino episodes. But here, back to the podcast. Here on Beat Fino Podcasts. Well, welcome everyone to Beat Fino Podcasts. And this week we have Anusta. What's good, my man?
What's up? What's up, boy?
Cheer. What's up? I got your name right, but that's your new name, yeah?
Yep, Anusta, yeah.
And for people who may not know you, they'll probably know you from your old name. Tell us your old name.
My old name was Leorify. Yeah. You probably remember me. I mainly make like melodic stuff. But I changed my name recently because I went through a bit of a life experience, and I just decided to, you know, I wanted to kind of put my all into it, and
yeah, man. Oh, that's so cool. I've kind of got like, at least with, you know, new music projects coming up, I'm definitely going under a new name for it, but Dietrich's still gonna be around, you know.
yeah, exactly. But I'm also, another reason why is because it's super hard to like tell people the name, you know what I mean?
Bro, like, to say, yeah, just,
bro, they just destroy it, and I'm just like, oh, man, like, I have to pull out my phone and like put notes on and like type it out, and I'm just like, nah, I'm not keen on this anymore. So I thought I'd get something a bit more, you know, like something you can just actually say first.
Yeah, because I got it wrong when I first said it, but I think everyone did, to be honest.
Yeah, bro, it was a bit of awkward name, eh, bro? Yeah. But you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, it was so cool, as even just to like have the imagination behind names like that, because I know back in the day I had a couple buzzy names, bro. But it's cool because like I think especially like the imagination behind them, like was there any like thing with this new name that you've got that came to mind?
With this new name, it's more personal, like it's got a bit of a heavier meaning in terms of like my family background and where I wanted to kind of push that side of me. And plus the music I want to make, it's kind of like I want to venture into like more of my heavier influences and kind of just touch on that, and just I don't know just release what I want, you know.
Exactly.
I have to try and,
because
like I got stuck in my old name, I got stuck in this like little bubble where I wanted to just keep making the same kind of sound, but in Anusta I'm just like open and like free, you know.
Yeah,
and like
it's
kind of the mindset behind the change, you know.
Nice, that's cool, because he's like definitely I agree with you, there's meanings behind names, like in our own minds. I know for me, Dietrich's always been like I came up with the name Dietrich literally because me and my friend, we used to DJ together, we called ourselves Dietricity, and I came up with the name because I was thinking DJ Dix. And then we're listening to electronic music, so electricity. Yeah. It's like electricity. And so it was cool. We got to do some fun stuff, and then we did some house parties, and the bro was like literally like standing up,
prepared to do a gig at a house party with like noise control saying we about to come up in here, and I say you ain't putting my controller up on the line, my bro. So like legit, we made a deal where if he was to do these house parties, like I would probably not want to come just because I don't want my gear getting nicked. And man, there's just crack up to like to see, like I don't want to split up with the bro, but like we still ended up in good. Oh yeah, we'll do it for, you know, sound control. And yeah, I just thought electricity, and then I thought, what's a singular version of that electricity, electric, and I got electric. that's how the name Dectric came up for everyone tuning
in. That's dope.
But speaking about names and stuff, just before we start the podcast, it was cool we had a yarn about how getting up to episode 32, bro. It's like it's exciting, man. And what's some of your favorite episodes so far, my man?
I think my favorite so far is Sugoi. I really like Sugoi, and Katana's one. Hold up. Oh shit, because I would listen and then and Anchor's one too. That was so good, actually. I really liked Anchor's one.
I'm super excited about getting cats like Anchor who have actually have got a bit of a sort of world of music outside of just like straight DJing or beat making, but actually stuff like Church and all that. It's really cool.
Yeah, bro, I admire him for that, eh? Like he's one of the goats. He's one of the first, I think it's one of the first producers I actually met in New Zealand, like that we just met on SoundCloud randomly in DMs, right? But he was like that first to like kind of inspire me to like keep pushing and just make your own kind of sound, you know, push your own sound. Yeah, he's been a bit of an inspiration, dude.
That's definitely one of my all-time favorites. And it's super cool to like actually see how I think I got to like near the like mid-20s and I realized, man, like
it is crazy.
It's just gonna like not stop for the rest of my life. Like I actually thought about how like, man, just I'm just gonna like lie on the deathbed and be like, yeah, like I started this thing called B-Fano, and then I started it and just keep going, you know. Kind of to kick things off, my man, how did you get into music, my man?
How did I get into music? So I've grown up, well, my mum's a singer, she's been in a band, and I've grown up listening to like R&B and like funk, and I've been around a lot of live music. And in high school I took music technology class, and I was like an ace at that, and I decided I might as well give producing a try, because at the time I was just listening to like a lot of mainstream music, a lot of like just pop and like reggae and all that. And then in high school, one of my friends introduced me to electronic music, mainly like Skrillex, like the early days. I think everyone, honestly, I'm listening to all these podcasts, bro. I've been listening to all these podcasts and everyone's saying the same thing, man. Like Skrillex, or like one for me as well was Dylan Francis, Kill the Noise. I really liked this group called Cohen Sound. They were around the same time too, but they were kind of like a little bit underground still. But those guys, like they're like the number one, like, you know, they're insane, bro. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if much people know about them, but yeah.
Wow, exactly. No, it's quite cool. I think the fact, like you just mentioned, everyone calling, say Skrillex, man. Whoa,
yeah, Skrillex, like, yeah, bro.
Man, I think what's cool as well is, what really helped push the music was the energy everyone was getting from it to then do things like dance videos, like little cool, even videos. People doing gaming videos, and it was like, you could see how this sort of music had like changed, has actually changed literally. The world in the way
literally.
Vibrated and embraced. It's so cool you mentioned that actually. What imagine if we got Skrillex on B-Fano.
Oh, bro, imagine that. That'd be crazy.
Well, I think I just said it to you.
Oh, that's funny.
One day, so yeah, man. You talking about digital music and all that in school and stuff and that. Sort of like, was that sort of like a garage band thing, or was that sort of more into it sort of thing?
So it was at our high school was really good for artwork, or like the art section. We had like a dedicated studio, and they had like vocal booths and stuff. It was pretty like geared out, and they had like a little booth that had FL Studio 8 on it, and I would go in there like every interval and every lunchtime, and just go in there and like learn how to make beats. It was really cool. Like that's kind of how I started, and then got my first laptop and got into FL Studio, and ever since then I've just been grinding at it. Yeah.
Wow, bro, I feel you on the whole. I think I came in around FL 9. At the time I actually was ready to even give it a shot, because it looked like a big spaceship, as you do.
What's
the spaceship thing looking at you? I got around in FL 10, and I think FL 8 was one of the first ones that actually had like the proper like windows for all the plugins, eh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like around F7 or 8. Yeah. But that's
been a long time.
Was that XP or Vista, or was that we're talking Windows 7?
Oh, I think it was XP.
XP.
Yeah. So it was XP, but yeah, and then I got FL 11, and that was where I kind of really started to learn some intricate stuff.
Seamless, huh?
Yeah, bro. Seamless. Yeah, bro.
Dude, as soon as you said intricate in FL, I was like, that's seamless, huh?
Yeah, seamless.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Well, we're on this down this little rail hole of different YouTubers, man. BusyWorks Beats. But some of the more OGs. Was there any other kids that you're seeing on YouTube around that time?
Oh, there was this. Okay, there was this guy called Spire. I don't know if you know about him. He was a producer from Aussie, and he was like just pretty. Well, he kind of blew up on SoundCloud, but he was like low key. But his style, like he released these videos of like neuro-based sound design. And it was like unheard of at the time, but then he took them down, and it was lucky because that I learned how to do those techniques, because I kind of wouldn't really be where I am without them, you know.
Wow.
But yeah, they were only up for like maybe like a year and a half or like 2 years. Yeah. Wow. So it was real buzzy, but yeah, he was actually one of my first inspirations to like begin making music, because he would do this thing where he would mix kind of like heavier bass design with more chill and like atmospheric music.
Yeah.
And at the time, like, you never really heard of that. So I was into that, bro, and I was like, damn, I want to make that, you know?
And and especially I think back then it was really hard to pull off, because even getting high quality samples, like some of the Vengeance packs were real bad quality at that time. And like you'd be like, wait a minute, all I'm hearing is like a bunch of like clashing keys and mids, you know. None of us like separation between some and a lower bass. I think back then you could almost say it was definitely like when you heard like a good mixdown, like everyone including the artists knew that it was a fluke. You can see I think a lot of even with like the likes of Splice and all that, like the whole
Splice is crazy, bro. Some crazy stuff on there.
So sound design wise, what was the cat's name again that you were learning?
Spire. So his name was Spire. Yeah,
how was that spelled? Because I love the like
S-P-I-R-E. S-P-I-R-E.
Just like the plugin. Oh, geez.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, if you look at his SoundCloud, a lot of his stuff is like very, very chill, very atmospheric, like very jazz inspired. And that's a huge inspiration to me. Like, bro, his stuff is jazz. Insane.
Yeah.
Like jazzy electronic stuff.
Oh, solid, bro. So yeah, sort of like getting your hands into Fruities. Did you ever like try to look at other softwares, or did you sort of just get go with Fruities and you're like, nah, just carry on?
I guess Fruity has been my staple for like you know, or since I started.
Yeah.
But I have dabbled a little bit in Bitwig and Ableton as well. I have a lot of friends who use Ableton, and it's a little bit tricky to like work with them. I really like Ableton for their like stock plugins and some of their audio working stuff you can do in there. It's like pretty insane. But because like in FL you can still like,
it's getting there, right?
You can still like do those things, but it's just there's a lot of workarounds.
And sometimes you got to do like a whole chain just to get one effect.
Yeah, it's kind of messy, but you know, we can get by.
I know it's a bit of a side topic, but I was always looking at things like Fruities and like how, you know, you can get sometimes like needing to make a whole effects rack just to kind of get, you know, like an Ableton effect. Imagine like making a boutique sound design company, and like one of the big sellers would be Patcher presets.
Oh hell yeah, bro! I love Patcher, bro.
See, it's crazy because now that I've said that, like, I'll actually have to execute that before people listen or someone's making a lot of money. Before I interrupt you,
no.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. What were you saying about Patcher, my man?
Oh, I was just saying, I just love Patcher. I use it all the time these days. There was a moment where I was like, I just didn't touch it because I was like scared. I don't know what the hell it was. And then once I like kind of learned about it a little bit and started using it more, I was like, damn, this is so efficient. Like, you can make some crazy stuff with it. Like, it was pretty sick. So yeah, then I started making my own like just presets and all that jazz.
Now, to be honest, I'm still scared of it, but that's only because as soon as you type in Patcher FL tutorial, the first thing that comes up at the top is Seamless R.
Yeah.
I can't even talk as fast as MG.
Yeah, he's funny. Yeah.
I don't know how he talks so fast, but I think like you can tell he was just on that grind.
Yeah.
But like the cat didn't waste no time in his career.
He's
Does that kid still make YouTube tutorials?
I think he does, actually, bro. I think he's done some stuff for like FacePlan and all that as well.
Oh, he would have, because
I haven't actually watched any of his videos in ages, but
I'm YouTubing him now, and I believe he still does private lessons.
I seen he did these beat reviews, and he would post the videos of like him listening to the track and then giving feedback and then put them on YouTube. And I remember I was listening to one of them, and there was just this one song that was just so bad, bro. And I was like,
no, I was just like trying to find something to say, and it's like, not like super on the edge. That's cool. I just saw you hit like, viewer track reviews, and it's
viewer track reviews. Yeah, that's it. There's a whole bunch of them. You've been doing a lot of them recently, actually.
I'm not gonna mess around anymore. Like, this is the first time in my life I can actually see. I'll turn that alarm off. I can actually see that he's doing private lessons, and I can actually afford them. let me turn this.
Was that just your alarm for the podcast? Oh yeah, sorry. Hard.
Nah, it's not even for the podcast, but that's a cool universal sign. The best figures we could edit these, while bro. I usually edit them when they go crazy. But yes, back on the track. Hearing about the software you dabbled in. Did you end up looking at DJing when you were growing up too, Marlboro?
I'm very new to DJing. I did do a little bit, like I had this old like Tracked S4, and I've always had this. It still works today, like, but I've done a couple like small gigs. I did a 21st for one of my old high school mates, and that was pretty cool. I did a random New Year's Eve gig like on midnight, just for like an hour. I had like a set in the middle of my mum, she played at a bar in Whangarei, right? I had like an hour set in the middle. She gave me like the midnight thing, and I I went hard, bro. It was funny. I was like, it was just in the middle of this random pub, and like, it was cool because there was a lot of young people there.
So
I managed to just like, yeah. But I played like, just random like trap and like quicks and all this, and I pretty funny.
Yeah, it's cracking me because like even though you know it's like hardy bass after like a band like these young kids there, it's good.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think this was like 2017, 2018, like a couple of years ago. Yeah, it was pretty.
I was so funny because I think Quicks was still like the whole thing everyone in New Zealand was sharing at that time.
I think it was around that.
That was like the Quicks year, man.
I don't have that much experience with DJing. I'm not too good, but I do like I could play the drums and I have like a good sense of rhythm. So when I do like think of like because I have been kind of dabbling with like sets and finding music and stuff, and whenever I do like just randomly mix, I still kind of like can pull on some transitions like randomly, and then just random stuff that flows, and I'm just like, yo, like, you know, maybe I should keep practicing, but I've been pretty tunneled on just production, like straight up production recently.
Me too, actually. It's these last couple of years, to be honest, like people know this when I say my DJ practice is when I'm playing the gig, which is really fun. But everyone knows, like, when you get, like you said, tunnel vision on production, it takes it all up, man. No, it's cool to hear. Sort of like musical inspirations, you kind of touched on a few there. And sort of as you got older and you sort of got to hear a bit more about music and stuff, you sort of like pulling from all the different genres and just different eras as well. It's cool, bro. Is there some like other sort of artists within those other areas that inspire
like in terms of like the heavier atmosphere? There's a whole bunch of like neuro artists that I really really like. There's, for example, there's Frequent and like She is another one. Copycat as well. He lives in Aussie. They're just doing some crazy like halftime mid-tempo stuff that I just dig my teeth into like every time I hear new stuff. Kyoto as well, he's another big name that I really like. And like I just want to make that like those super grimy like neuro like halftime bangers, bro. But at the same time I still want to release some really like heartfelt like emotional stuff.
San Holo
is pretty sick.
Cool example.
So like I've been just kind of like doing my own thing, like trying to be kind of the middle ground, you know. I love my middle ground kind of vibes, bro. Like
hard. It's actually really cool to see like there's a couple of females DJs who are getting into their like it's all kind of like bass experimental, but it's like cool to hear like that sort of BPM. And it's like it used to be solely house, remember, like Tomorrowland. You would like hear like I said that was a tape, and it was just like a couple of people were like bold enough to actually take it there. But it's real exciting, yeah. Like I like when I mentioned San Holo and stuff, like that cat was like real underground, as we would have remembered him on the SoundCloud days, just legit making remixes, eh? Like that was all he was doing at the time. But I think it was just like an example of how his fresh take on those acapellas were huge, eh?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, exactly.
So like sort of wrapping up that sort of artist stuff and moving on to sort of more inspiration sort of outside of music, is there stuff you do like sort of when you're not doing music, or is it sort of solely music? It's a bit of a trick question, but to be honest, like we I've asked that a few times on B-Photo. Just music, G, like
music. I do I love my games too, you know. Gamers, bro. It's a good distraction, like especially when you're just not in the mood to make stuff, eh?
It's like a reward as well, eh? Like
pretty much.
Not enough production.
But yeah,
I'm actually looking at getting back into gaming myself. But like, for me, it's like an addiction. So like, I'll have to find like some people to like, say, Samir, get off there.
I think I do spend too much time. I mean, for me, inspiration comes like in waves, bro. And when I'm not feeling it, bro, I'm not feeling it, you know. But when I'm in, bro, I'm all in. You know all what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm one of those type of guys. Like my flow kind of comes on and off. Like when I'm, bro, one week I could be inspired as hell. Like I'd be just whacking out a track, bro, and then the next week I'm just like, I don't want to do anything. You know?
yeah. Don't even want to.
Yeah. It's just like that for me. Like, everyone's different though, eh?
For me, it's been a new learning curve with doing full-time mahi. And just kind of like learning to limit my mahi outside of mahi, because I pretty much did all of that when I was a student, so I'd have like way more time. And so I'd do all my homework. I'd get super excited to finish it, because then I could do all my little side hustles. And that really helped. But now it's a bit different, because it's not like you have time for side hustles in a sense. Yeah. So like, even for me to just do beat fighter, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like maybe just focus on that. But yeah, man, like, have you done much like in the terms of like having to balance music and like life and mahi, or what's your sort of like take on that?
Oh yeah, no, I've been working full time for about 5 years, and just producing in my spare time. Weekends mainly are just like just straight up production sessions. Like I do mad hours, like just doing sound design, doing like mainly for me it's more just like creating vibes.
It's your time, mate. But
yeah, like since lockdown and stuff, I kind of had a bit more time on my hands, so I've been been experimenting a little. I'm currently working on an EP too, my debut.
Oh wow, yeah, that's exciting, bro. And I just wanted to say, it was super cool hearing all the tracks from this year, and especially last year, the old Night Owls, and just being able to send tracks in even to those producer communities. Huge.
Night Owl, yeah, man, that was a big thing, man. Johnny is the man, the owner of Night Owl.
He's
like the most inspirational person I've met in the music industry, like no cap. He's crazy. He does it all himself, bro. And it's just like, oh, how can you fathom that? Like, man, yeah.
Because it was that guy from Future Collective doing it all on his own, eh? But he had to,
What's
his name? I forgot his name.
Michael, I think.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, bro.
Ah, yeah.
Future, I'm a bit slack in Future, but I do pop in there now and to see what they're up to. But I'm in there because I use Discord a lot. I'm pretty active on Discord.
And there's heaps actually. Yeah, there's heaps of different, probably like, on a few already.
Yeah. There's recently there's the Auckland DMB producer one.
That one would be pretty big, eh? Because everyone's like, it's a trumpet. It's growing anyway.
There's another one that's like Oz NZ Underground Artists. It's kind of cool.
Oh, I just got into that one too. I saw it as soon as I jumped in there. It's the first
thing. When I see your name, I was like, oh, Samir.
It's like, oh, I recognize
that. So, Discord is pretty cool. Like, I'm enjoying just being a part of like communities and stuff.
Yeah, no, I just got to say it to everyone now. You add me to a Discord, I'll say hi, and that's legit the last thing you'll see from me. And it's I know, like, people understand it.
I do the same word. Everyone does the same. I don't know. I actually have, like, just kind of, like, I don't know if it's anxiety, but, like, I just don't really like... kind of too, when they're too noisy. You know, I'd rather DM people, you know. I'd rather just be like on a personal level instead of just like,
that's the funny thing, it's like you go in with good like sort of hopes that it's sort of like something where somehow everyone can win, but like it's never gonna be that exactly, like there's always like people who talk or like Yeah, like kids will know exactly what we mean by that, just by the base of there's a lot of people to all kind of have to like share one space in when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, it's all good.
Hard. Yeah, and I think people I like Discord because it's like an opportunity to get away from like all the like bad sides of like cons of Facebook, like ads,
yeah,
and even just like,
yeah, exactly, yeah, fact,
everything's sort of targeted on Facebook, yeah, towards distracting you. Like, yeah, people would hate to admit it, like people would say, oh, I'm not addicted to Facebook. It's like, yes, you are,
bro. You open that app, the first thing you do when you get up, bro. Nah, yeah.
There you go. So, but yeah, that's really cool for, I guess, accountability. Like people, I feel like people who are Discord are on Discord or are already paving their own lane, or yeah, paving exactly, their own way. Because yep, you get to a point where that niche market, I think, is where the world's, because the world's become so big. Like, and, yeah, and at the same time with the internet, yeah, it's a bit of a side hustle. Side talk, but that's why I think B-Final as well is such a cool thing, because I'd rather go for a niche, people who are actually on the same wavelength than, yep, like, then you, what would be in the past is like, you know, like your standard sort of try and hit everyone at once. And I think that's something where it's like Facebook, actually, you can see why a lot of people prefer Instagram for connecting up with people than Facebook, eh? Because actually, just the bro DJ Spell, I couldn't get hold of him on Facebook. And then one of the bros was like, oh, nah, dude, like, there's people who actually, like, they have a Facebook, but, like, they never use it, and they'll use Instagram.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the opposite for me. But I'm finding, like, I'll check it at least once a month to Instagram. Yep. And for me, that's, like, a good, like, balance. Like, because, to be honest, like, I find Instagram, it's very easy to get distracted on there too.
Yeah, bro. Yep, exactly, bro.
Because I realized, like, you might actually find stuff that, like, is more, like, you know, Facebook's more just, like, marketing, like, all the stuff you see on there is, like, completely not what you're into. And then on Instagram, you can start to see, like, ways to make it all be exactly what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
But I could spend, like, half an hour on there easy. Yeah. Yeah, what do you feel about all that, my bro? Do you feel like it's like it's all about striking a balance, or have you found it like something you've had to like learn and stuff?
Social media.
Yeah.
For me, it's a bit of a struggle, eh? Because I'm like super introverted, eh? Like, I'm not one to be like, you know, I don't like you know, if one thing happens in my life, I don't like sharing about it. You know, I'm more of just like a keep it to myself. Head down, kind of bummer prison. But I feel like it's kind of necessary these days, you know. You gotta have a voice as well, you know. A platform to kind of push your vibe, like
energy, you know, thing too, wait.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're, you know, I'm quite a positive person anyway, so I wanna be that kind of force to just like help people, because you never know, bro. Like, you could do a random post on Instagram and some new person will find it. Yeah, and then next minute they're listening to your music and they're just like,
wow. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, your, you know, biggest fan,
changed,
you know?
Like, you know, it just changed their kind of outlook on life.
On life,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Imagine, you know?
The amount of times
I've had a, yeah, like I've had a, yeah, I've had a, an, and like an experience like that where someone hit me up on Twitter just randomly, like, and was just like, man. But the thing was, is when I changed my name, they remember me from Leorify.
Wow.
Realized that I was Leorify, and then they were like, you know, you helped me through some tough times. And I'm just like, well, really, like, you know. And that just hit me hard, eh? I was just like, far out, like, this is some next level stuff. kind of brought a tear to my eye. I was just like, well, no way this happened, you know.
Yeah. Stuff like that, that's priceless, say. You'd rather have that, bro, than like a $1 million, say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You can't sell that for anything, eh? Like, it's a personal, like, interaction between you and that person, you know?
Bro. Yeah. Now, that's a great segue, because, I was sort of talking about the whole community aspect of things there. Sort of like touching on that. I'm pretty sure we're up to the show now. It's almost like, sort of like for people getting into it and all that, because a lot of people, you realize, wow, it's like you don't realize, like, they're your biggest fan, eh? And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Sort of like, for people who may be like listening and inspired by you know, your music, actually this is what I was just remembering, I was wanting to talk to you about, my bro. A lot of people might not know or remember, but they'll remember you from this, my bro. You managed to take out a Red Bull remix comp, my bro.
Yeah, so
I had to do it.
You had to.
I had to bring that one up.
Nah. Yeah, back in the day, man. I won the Bank remix. Yeah, I did it like a just a melodic kind of rendition, like a halftime kind of version, and I don't know. I just people just loved it, and I ended up taking it out, but I wasn't expecting it. Because one thing crazy actually was I actually like smashed that remix out in like 2.5 days. Like it was super fast, bro. Like just all the ideas just came together, all the sound design was just like perfect, and I was just like, oh, I'm happy with this, bro.
Smash out the mix down too.
And then it was like, damn, like yeah, and then it just, oh man, when it won, I was like, what the hell? I was just staring at my phone. When he, like, because you know how the way he announced it, right? He just put a poster up, like a picture up, but he spelled my name wrong, and I was like, oh.
Come on, dude. Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'll just, But then I like DM'd him on Twitter, and I was like, oh, that's, you know, at what you do, you know, you just correct, and then, But yeah, I was super happy with that, and then you know you reap the rewards, I guess.
Because that was the thing. You got to go in the Red Bull Studios, right?
Yeah. That was my first time experiencing like a proper full-on studio, bro. And I was tripping out, man. Like,
yeah.
Everything was so like
perfect.
Felt so professional, and I was just like, damn, I feel so spoiled, bro. When I was like, I had a like what I took there though, was I actually had like a full track pretty much ready to go, like roaring, bro. I had all the stems, like and then I brought my rapper friend who from Whangarei as well, who I wanted on the track, and we just laid our tracks down, smashed it out, and we managed to like finish the track on the day. It was a pretty insane experience, but and that was one of my old tracks called it was the one we released on Valentine's Day. Oh no, I forgot the name.
It'll come to you in a sec. That's awesome. And who is the rapper? Does he go by
his name's Tactic.
Nice, Tactic. So has he been into music for a little while too? Is he just into the rapping?
He's just a rapper. He's kind of stopped rapping. Hey. A little bit. He's been on and off, but hold up.
Yeah.
Oh, Heart Said You. That's right. Heart Said You. That was.
I'm gonna listen again after the show because I remember the name. Bro. So you'll come to me if I hear it. And like when with Red Bull Studios, was it sort of like, did they just kind of like tell you, like. Do the studio for whatever you want, or did you just kind of like know exactly what you're going there for? What was the sort of process?
Well, I kind of had an idea of what happens there. Like I was just like, okay, well this, and I was like, I'm gonna just go prepared. Like I've got my track, I'm gonna bounce out all these stems, like I'm just go in there, record some whatever's.
And then
he was just, bro, he was on to it. He just put it all together, and then we just vibed out the new track, and
that's it. With
the new track, and then boom, like released it like 2 weeks later. You know, it was a vibe.
Oh wow! So it's like mainly recording is where you go for something like back professional where everything's is all good to go.
And like, oh man, it was just weird to like hear my voice in a weird, like in a proper professional setting. You know, I'm so used to hearing it just my shitty recording in my room. You know,
get away with it.
And then it's like, bro.
So, I need to practice. What's cool there is, like being in that same space of, like, obviously, we're a lot of great people in New Zealand music, they were standing there. It's almost like you would have had that feeling, eh?
Oh, bro,
that.
felt like a rock star, bro. Yeah, straight up. Bro. Nah, it was a cool experience. Eh?
Oh, that's so cool. Well, that's what it's about. It'd be fun. It was actually sharing. That is a testimony for people who just can, like, everyone has an opportunity, whether it's big or small, to at least get a taste. And yeah, exactly. To see, yeah, because I think it's such a big opportunity now in terms of not just music in the traditional sense of, you know, electronic, you know, beat making and DJing it, but actually, you know, stock music, you know, every TV show, every film, every radio sting, there's always like, there's something there that's driving it, and that's the audio subconsciously or consciously that's driving it. And so it's quite cool now to actually see. Like people getting placements and something where I don't know if you know some of these cats, we're keen to get some cats like Sick Drums, who's based here in Manawatu, and he's managed to help make tracks for a lot of really, really huge artists and cool, including Rahana, which is Neither Me, he made that beat, and some more huge tracks.
Crazy.
And this is literally just on the a small town on the outskirts of Palm Beach, from that house. That track was made. It's like no big fancy studios. So it's like you said, it's their testimony of being able to then see where something as humble as like a laptop setup can take you.
Exactly, bro. Yeah. Mm. Yep. I'm a big believer of that, man. Some of the most innovative stuff I've ever heard on SoundCloud has come from these bedroom. they just started off, you know, as in their bedroom, just creating what they want, man.
Using what they have as well, because
yeah, man, and you know, like, oh man, yep,
yeah,
big testament to that, man.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. But yeah, man, before we sort of wrap things up, was there anything else you're sort of keen to like share while we're on the podcast, there, my man?
Nah, not really. Anyone who's listening,
testimony here. Like, we might head into our favorite time of the show, which is sort of like a little words of wisdom for people tuning in, my man. So sort of like people who might be getting into production opposed to DJing. Sort of like they can see like that level is like way up there when they first get into it. But obviously, I think what we really try to advocate here on B-Final is the fact that, you know, you can get there in ways where you're not necessarily doing it the right way or the honest way. Yeah. You and I both know about that, people tuning in too. But, you know, for people who want to go down that honest road, what's some sort of like tips or just, little words of wisdom we can give there for everyone tuning in?
I would just say keep going, don't
believe
ever,
in yourself,
eh? Yeah, exactly. It gets very easily discouraging producing. You get discouraged, and I feel like as long as you just keep true to yourself, keep making what you want to make and not worry about anything else. That's the most important thing, you know. Create a relationship with you and your music, how you want it to sound, you know. This is one thing that you want to cherish, and just be authentic. Be as authentic as you can.
That's so cool, bro. Yeah. Being real present in that moment of just even the opportunity to have a computer or whatever to make music is probably a great first step for people to just. Be like, so I don't have to actually make something exactly how I want it. Then just having peace, I guess, to get that first track out's huge, eh, bro?
Yeah, man. And another mindset or way of thinking about that I recently kind of thought of was imagine you're writing in a journal every day or whenever you want to, whenever you can. And that journey is kind of that journal is kind of put out for people to read at any time they want to read it. And that's kind of where I see music, especially music production and the art form of music. You just create, put it out there, let people read the pages, you know, and just, and that's
keep
kind
writing.
Of,
keep
writing, just write your feelings, put your heart into it, put your emotions, put your whatever, your anger, everything. Like, yeah, bro, just put it in there. That's another way that I kind of like, I like looking at production that way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's an expression of yourself. So make it, you know, make it the best version of yourself. You know what I mean?
Ah, bro, I think if there's one thing anyone could get into it for and to like really keep them going, even if it's they get to a real point, it's like, okay, like, I don't really care if nothing comes in the sense of like, oh, I would love the world to hear my art. Just like actually self-expressing like to one or two people is quite powerful, just to know like there is something there that you can keep practicing. Like translate something beyond words, like, you know, so music's like 1,000 words.
Exactly. Yep.
And then I guess at the end of the day, it's even like the fact that it helps you grow as a person, being able to commit to something and put it out, and like actually not feel like you have to be a perfectionist in life. Exactly. So like,
yeah, bro.
Actually, yep. I'm gonna release this now because I'll probably never release, like, you know, perfectionism is something like kids like us, it happens to the best of us. Is for me, a lot of it has come down to realizing that it's not so much the sonics of the, like, the mix downs or all that. It's actually trying to decipher between that and say, oh, there's a really interesting way that the drum is like louder than it's supposed to be, so I could say brownie points down, but man, as with that sort of vocal, no one's done that before. Ben, I think that in itself is like something that's helped me release more music, because now I'm like, oh, the mix down doesn't have to be perfect, you know what I mean, bro?
Yeah.
Do you find like sometimes perfectionism hits you a little bit hard?
Yeah, I end up down the rabbit hole, you know, like I'm just like I'm like slowly learning to like just let things go, like, and move on, kind of, because, you know, sometimes if there's something that's just not sitting right in my mix and I'm getting pissed off, you know, I'm just like, ah, oh, you know, I'll keep going over it. I'm just like, you know, and if it's something in my, like, because I record my vocals too, and if it's something in my vocals, bro, I'm just like, I'll just like scrap the whole thing, re-record, like come up with other lyrics, like I'll just, you know, I'm just like so like
fixated on trying to get something.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a habit that I kind of want to break, you know, like just slowly break and just let stuff flow more, you know what I mean?
Oh, bro, that's it. And it's so cool, because I think the first step on your journey, when you be able to recognize it, and then it's not so much that you get there straight away, but you just start to see those little things, like we said, writing in their journal each day.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, yeah, like you kind of get to read the journal away after a few years, and then I find the
kind of flicking back to old pages, just having a look. Yeah,
it actually becomes more kind of like it brings you back to that childlike mind, eh, my bro?
Yeah, bro. Yeah,
it's a cool story. But we could go down there rabbit hole in itself. But man, I think that wraps things up, and I think a lot of kids out there really appreciated just those little words of wisdom there, my man.
Sweet as, no worries.
Without further ado, my bro, people may know where to find you, I'm sure. We'll have your thing, as we do for everyone, on Beat Finder. But yeah, man, any kind of tunes on the way? Just before we talked, you got an EP. It's hopefully you're getting
DPEP. Yep, debut. Yeah. It's gonna be quite unique, I think. I'm fusing a lot of R&B with like neuro electronic, like very heavy stuff. So it's gonna be kind of interesting. I'm kind of excited to see how it gets taken, but yeah, that'll hopefully be done. I don't want to put a date on it, bro, because
just cool to say
it's gonna be coming. And then I also have a collab that I've been working with a vocalist from Sydney. She's an R&B vocalist, and it's more just like an R&B kind of vibe out track that's coming in March. So that'll probably be my next release. Wow. Also and just entered a remix contest actually recently, so I'll probably release that too
if
I don't win. But if I do win, I think I can release it. So
yeah, oh, exciting, man. Bro, I haven't done a remix contest in ages,
I needed to do one recently because like my tank's been kind of low, brother. You know,
I was like holding out when it was July. Like, okay, there's probably like a Red Bull contest just about to drop.
Yeah,
but, you
yeah.
know, like the classic Rock Shop.
Yeah. The classic workshop, yeah.
X Red Bull remix comp.
Yeah, hard.
The re-up. And it's like, where is it? Yeah, December, where is it? Yeah. But these guys will be tuning in, one of them. We just had Sasa on the show before, and we, you know, good friends of those kids. It's like, you heard it here. We want another re-up here.
That'd be sick. Oh man. I love that for the community, bro. It's so cool, bro.
And just to see how many entries there are, and you get to discover new Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. Like you get to meet, like you, I'm just like, what the hell, man? Like there's so much talent here, man.
Well, congrats on getting their Remus comp in, and all the best. Getting those tracks underway, and looking forward to hear new music from you.
I'm excited to share new music.
Okay? Yeah, everyone can check you out. Without further ado, my man, thanks for being on the show.
All good, man. No worries.
Thanks everyone for tuning in to Be Whānau Podcast. That was episode 32 of Anusta. If you are new to Be Whānau, feel free to check us out and follow us on Spotify. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. And please subscribe on YouTube if you're more into YouTube. We've just got audio at the moment, but we're getting near with more video content. Please, if you can donate, check us out on Patreon, Facebook. Just for that extra sort of treatment as well, with little perks for your support. We really want to keep doing this. So if you feel the kōrero, if you feel the kaupapa here, please even just let us know if you can support and share. So without further ado, that was Be Whānau Podcasts. Peace and love, whānau.